I had another sermon that I prepared. It was quite a while ago. It was probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. I had ready to go. It was prepared. It was done. And then the last couple of weeks, there was a thought that the Lord had given me, something He pressed upon my heart 2 times, and I knew that that's what I needed to speak about. And it was with regards to when people ask us about our church. You know, say we have a conversation with somebody, and we'll say, well, what church do you go to? And they'll tell us, and then they'll say, well, what church do you go to? And then we'll tell them. But, you know, what else do we say when they ask us that question? When they ask us, well, why do you go to that church? You know, what are you going to say? What do you have prepared on your heart to tell them? And I don't think there's necessarily a right or wrong answer. You know, it's really what the Lord lays on your heart that you want to share with them. But I thought about this subject. You know, it's happened multiple times for me. I know it has for you. And I thought about, well, you know, maybe there's things I should be telling them that I'm not telling them. And that's what this sermon's really about. It's really a basic sermon. You're familiar with a lot of these passages, and they are going to be very surprising to you. They're very basic, ones we've talked about before. So why do you go to that church? Why do you go to the Church of Christ? You know, why did you come here today? What do you say? And these are some examples of maybe what you might say to them when they ask you. You might say, well, we use the Book of Mormon in our church. And that's why I go to this church, because we use the Book of Mormon. But is that really what it's about? Is it, there are other churches that use the Book of Mormon. Not our church that use the Book of Mormon. What if they were to come in here today to our church and they were to take our scriptures? You know, take them away, take our Bible, take our Book of Mormon. We wouldn't have them anymore. Well, we'd still have a church. It would still be the same church it was before. We just kind of easily refer to our scriptures. This is one thing we do in our church. But think carefully about what you want to talk about when they ask you this question. You know, here's another one. Well, there's this man named Joseph Smith, you see. And, you know, the Lord used him as a tool, as an instrument to bring about His plan, just like He used, you know, the disciples of old and the apostles. I don't go to this church because of John or because of Paul or because of Joseph Smith or whoever. I come to this church because it's a Church of Christ, the restored Church of Christ. Another possible answer, you might say to yourself, well, it's a little complex, but you know, I'm going to give you our history book. You take our history book and you can get all figured out here. It's got everything. There's this complex history with our church and you need to know this and that. And church history is good. I appreciate all the efforts. I appreciate the books we have on church history. There's a lot of nice things in there. And I think it's important. But it shouldn't be so complicated. There's another possible answer. I'll talk to you about it when you have more time. You know, the opportunity you have is right then and there. It's not complicated at all. It's simple. You might not never have that opportunity again. You know, sometimes I've had opportunities and I look back on them and I wish I would have said this or that. You know, I would have spoke with plainness and I would have been bold and not hesitant at all about it. You know, that the time is there and now when you're given that opportunity. So these are some examples of what you might say. And I've got some questions. Do you feel that you have to defend yourself and you're the odd one? And there's not necessarily nothing wrong with that, I guess. You know, it says we're a peculiar people. But, you know, you're proclaiming the truth. You know, you have nothing to be ashamed about. You know what your scripture says. You know, just share with them what you know. It's the truth of scripture. It's the truth of the Church of Christ. It's what Jesus Christ taught. Do you feel that you are the one that has to struggle to prove your church's legitimacy when they should be proving theirs? And there are truth in various churches of the world, and there are humble followers of Christ in the different churches. There are things we can learn from them. You know, I don't have all the answers. I see a great passion in the lives of people who don't go to our church. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it's very plain to me. We're following the things that are in our scripture. I don't need to worry about it and struggle about it. Well, I don't know what I'm going to say. You know, maybe our church, it believes this. Maybe this isn't right. But you know it's right. Do you worry what they'll think when you're trying to explain? You know, when you're talking about church, you're talking about the Bible. Do you care more about what they think of you? Or are you able to humble yourselves and give them the words that they need to know, what they need to hear about the church, what they need to hear about your walk with the Lord and how the Lord's blessed you? You know, you have nothing to be ashamed about. You have nothing you have to worry about as long as you're following, you know, Jesus Christ and His gospel. Again, you need to be bold when you're talking about it. You know, does it matter what they think of me? I say something and it's right. But they, as a result of saying this, they're going to think I'm strange. You know, you don't need to feel that way at all. Just don't worry about it. Do you speak the truth with any hesitancy? You know, I've already talked about this a little bit. Well, I don't know if I want to say this. As soon as I say this, they're going to think I'm crazy, or they're going to think I'm strange and I'm different. And, you know, I don't even want to take the time to talk to them about Scripture. I don't want to have to defend myself. I don't want to even go there. I'm just going to make it easy and simple. Just say, well, we go to the Church of Christ, and yeah, it's a good church to go to. That's why I go there. And, you know, that's it. Does it bring you joy to discuss the church, or shame? You know, think about that. When you're talking about it, do you get ashamed about it? Why should we get ashamed about talking about Christ and His gospel? There's no reason to do that. We don't need to do that. And I was thinking about something that happened last weekend, and I was able to administer to somebody in my family. Somebody that has a health problem, and the Lord would put upon my heart that I need to administer to them, and I asked them, and they said I could, so I did, and it was last weekend, and you know, there were some other people there, and you know, for a second or for a minute, I thought, well, I wonder what these other people will think when I, you know, minister them and put my hands on them, and we anoint them with oil. You know, it says we should do this in the Scripture, but you know, I don't need to worry about what they think. I need to do my job, and I did my job. And because of that, I'll be blessed because of it. Okay, now again, there's no right or wrong answer, but I'm thinking, well, you know, what am I going to say next time? Maybe you should think about saying things like this. You know, because it's the Church of Christ, and that really doesn't get you all the way there. It's going to require more explanation. But, you know, in our Scripture, we find a Church of Christ. We find a Church of Christ. They call it the Church of God, the Church of Christ. And in the Book of Mormon, it's more plain about it, where it says you should, you know, call the church after my name. You know, I didn't come up with this on my own to say it's got to be called the Church of Christ. Because this is something the Lord said. I didn't say it. This is what the Lord said. We need to take on His name, so we need to do it. It's important to Him because He mentioned it. And there's multiple verses in the Scripture. You know, it's Christ Church, the Church of Christ. It's always been Christ Church. It's always been the Church of Christ. It never was some other church. We look at our Scriptures. It's always been the Church of Christ, Christ Church. You know, I've always been I'm a Christian. You know, I don't follow anybody else. I follow the Lord. I'm a Christian. You know, is there any other church we find in our Scripture? There really isn't. A familiar passage, Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. This word salute, I looked it up, it means to welcome, to greet, to give you their greeting, to embrace, to welcome, to simply say hello. I never really thought about that word salute. What does that mean? And that's what it means, which makes sense. So, you know, it's not, it's a spiritual organization. but it's also a temporal organization. You know, because somebody will say, well, aren't all everybody in the world that believes in Christ, you know, aren't they members of Christ's church? Yes and no. There's a spiritual aspect of Christ's church, but there's also an organization that Christ set up and was to continue. It never stopped. There were apostles that he set up, and you know, this person, that person. It went on for a period of time, like we find in our scriptures, and then we don't really know what happened. We kind of look at history and we see what happens. There's a falling away that it talks about in scripture. But it was an organization, you know, where Christ said, this is how I want my church to be. I want it to have people for this job and people for this job, kind of like a business. And that's how he set it up. It's spiritual. You know, you're baptized into the Church of Christ. You're baptized. You come into the church. You know, you're a member spiritually. But there's also a protocol and an organization that Christ wants us to use and to follow and to have. 3 Nephi 12:13, and they which were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. So it was those that were baptized. You know, how did they join this church? Well, they were baptized into the church. So, you know, I believe this, of course. You know, being baptized is very important. 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So, you know, just like we have a relationship with a wife and a husband, there's a relationship with Jesus Christ and the church body. You know, and the bride of Christ. It talks about Christ as being the groomsman or the groom, and we're as the bride of Christ. You know, the church is represented as a woman in Scripture. So, you take on the name of your husband. When a woman marries a husband, they take on his name. And that's the same way it works, you know, when you're baptized. You take on the name of Christ. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. And you know, I'm not a Lutheran, I'm not a Methodist, I'm not a Mormon, I'm not a Baptist, I'm not a Presbyterian, I'm not an Evangelical, I'm not a Catholic, I'm a Christian. You know, I want to be known as a Christian. And I was thinking about something that happened probably 12 years ago. It was before Lydia was born. I was taking a class at a Christian university, I was taking a class. I was just trying to figure out what I learned. And I was thinking about, I wanted to be involved in the church. It was before I became a member of the Church of Christ. But I thought I needed to take this class. So I took this class, and I think we had to fill out a piece of paper, just kind of talk about us, what church we went to. And we gave them to the professor, and he kind of went through them and read them, and he talked to each one of us. And he says, oh, I see you go to this Lutheran church here. And I said, yeah, I go to Lutheran church. And he said, oh, then you're a Lutheran. I said, I kind of took offense to it. I said, no, I'm a Christian. But then when I thought about it, I think about it, I really was a Lutheran. You know, I grew up in a Baptist church. Kelly grew up in a Lutheran church. After we got married, we went to the Lutheran church, and that's why I joined the Lutheran church. I was a Lutheran. And you know, the professor asked me, and it, you know, it really made me think about that. 3 Nephi 12:18, have they not read the scriptures which saith, ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name, for by this name shall ye be called at the last day. And whoso taketh upon him my name and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever ye shall do it in my name. Therefore, ye should call the church in my name. And ye shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake. And how be it my church, save it be called in my name? For if a church be called of Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. Or if it be called in the name of a man, then it be the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church. if it so be that they are built upon my gospel. We've talked about this. But it's the way Christ wanted it. He wanted his church to be named after him. And it makes perfect sense. And that's how he wanted it. And that's why we do it. That's why it's important. But there's something else about this verse. At the very end, then it is my church, if it so be that they are built upon my gospel. You know, you just can't start a church, call it the Church of Christ, and everything's A-okay. There are a lot of churches that call themselves a Church of Christ, but they don't believe the things, you know, we believe. So, you know, a name, it can be just a name if you let it be just a name. If you put so much importance on the name and there's nothing else about this church, you know, you don't follow the gospel, then what point is there in calling it the Church of Christ? You know, there's no point in it at all. So this is another answer, because we continue to do the things Christ directed us to do. So, you know, the first possible answer, you might say, well, it's the Church of Christ. We believe, we teach what's found in our scriptures. You know, we teach what's found in our scriptures. That's another reason why I go to the Church of Christ, because of that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that answer at all. It's right up there at the top. Why do you go to this church? What Christ taught us: if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, I can say I love the Lord, I can have a passion for the Lord, but do I love the Lord enough that I really want to do what he asked me to do? I really want to do what he taught. You know, I say I love the Lord. Well, you know, I don't want to hurt the Lord, I don't want to offend the Lord, so I should do what he asked me to do. I should do what's in his scriptures. Because I love the Lord. You know, when you're talking to somebody, well, I love the Lord, and Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I'm going to do it. When I see things in my scripture, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to understand what I need to be doing, what I need to believe, because it's in here in my scriptures, because I love the Lord. You know, everything in our scripture is important. Everything. Not just some things, everything. You know, it's all things that Christ taught. I want to understand them. Not just this or that, you know, or believe that it doesn't apply anymore. Everything applies. A familiar passage, Hebrews 6, 1 through 2, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So all of these six things were thrown into this passage here. You know, laying on of hands, it's put right in the mix there with faith and repentance. To me, that says it's important. And it's got the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. You know, here's the sequence here. And it talks about faith. And faith is not, you know, not just believing that Christ exists or that he died. You have so much faith in him that you're going to do what he asked you to do. I have faith. I believe that this person had the answers. He was God in the flesh. He had the answers I need. So I'm going to put my faith in him. I'm going to put my faith in what he taught. I'm not going to put my faith in what somebody else taught. I'll put my faith in what Christ taught. There's actually a Baptist church. They call themselves the Six Principles Baptist Church, or the Six Principles Baptist, because they recognize this verse. They recognize how important this is. So they're Baptist, but they call themselves the Six Principles Baptist Church. What else Christ taught us? There are many other things that Christ taught that we find in our scriptures. You know, we just talked about this verse, Hebrews, but of course there's other things that your brother shared with us today at Sunday school when that rich man went up to him. You know, what commandment should I follow? And Christ said, well, you should do this, you know, some things out of the Ten Commandments. Those are other things that Christ taught that we should be doing. You know, there's a Sermon on the Mount, you can learn things from the parables, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. The next possible answer, the Holy Ghost testifies that we are in Christ's church. I've got a few verses here, Alma 6:38, and it came to pass that Alma went forth and also Amulek among the people to declare the words of God unto them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know, what does it feel like? What is this Holy Ghost all about? Can you really be filled with the Holy Ghost? And you know, there's no better term than that to use the word filled. You feel like you're filled up, your head's going to explode. You feel the Holy Spirit. You don't feel it all the time. You feel it sometimes. You know, if you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, if you're where you need to be with Him, you know, if you feel that, I must be in the right church. You know, you hear testimonies from others. You know, maybe you don't feel it like another does on a particular day or whatever. You hear the testimonies from your brothers and sisters. They feel it. So why else should I question the church? Why should I go out and look for some other church? There's no point in it. I found it. You know, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I felt it. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So that verse goes right along with that. You know, it testifies to us that we've made the right choice, that I'm where I need to be, I'm doing what I need to be doing. And you know, and it's not my job to go around and saying who has the Holy Ghost and who doesn't have the Holy Ghost. You know, I've got into that trouble before. It's not my job to do that. I'm not going to tell someone there's no way you can't have it. Because the Lord makes exceptions. He does things in different ways sometimes. But I know that the standard protocol is with through the laying on of hands that we find in our scripture. So I'm, you know, that's what Christ taught. So we should do it. We should do it in our church. And you know, I've had this conversation with people before, but they don't believe what I say. You know, you could say, well, this happened in our church. This person was healed. This happened. But if they don't want to believe it, they won't believe it. So just do your job and don't be offended when they don't understand what you're saying or don't believe it. Our spiritual gifts in our church testify God is with our church. Acts 2:17 through 18, it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young man shall see visions, and your old man shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. We see this happening in our church. And it's, you know, people have had dreams, people have had visions, there have been people that have got healed. They testify that, you know, the Lord is pleased with what we are doing and He's giving us these blessings. I've got one example. It's a recent example. This is what was sent out, about a week ago maybe. A testimony from Apostle Placido. This is what he said. It was on the CCEG. It says, Dear brothers and sisters, it's really a blessing for me to greet you in this wonderful day of life. I am really happy to share with you a wonderful testimony. Yesterday, I went to the eye doctor for a special test. I really got a miracle because 4 months ago, I went for the same test, and the result was that the center of my eye was damaged, it showed, which was dangerous for me. The doctor was very worried about the situation. He said that probably I will need another surgery. I was worried too. All the brothers in my family were praying for me. Since that time, I was administered several times. One that I remember was so comforting is the one that Elder Nathan Denham performed. When I visited him in Central Mexico, I felt that I received something. Yesterday after the test, the doctor was really surprised when he saw the result, as he said that my right eye is normal, 35. There's no damage in the center. The God of Israel restored my vision. I am so thankful for this miracle in my life. Even I am not worthy for His mercy. He loves me and loves His work here. I praise His name for His love, and I give the glory to Him. I am a witness of the mercy of Christ. I am a witness of his power and his love for his people. Certainly our God is in control of our lives and his church that he has restored in these last days. I am a witness of Christ's mercy, Apostle Placido K. Matu, Yucatan, Mexico. So, you know, maybe one thing that we might think, or what the devil might whisper in our ear, is that this was just a coincidence. It just healed itself. It just took care of itself. The Lord didn't really heal him. And we can go on in that thought process our whole life. They didn't really do this. This didn't really happen. But we see these things, they just keep happening. And they're really being blessed down there in Central America. Their churches are being blessed. And they're growing down there. And it's just a great thing. So this is just one example, you know, that I put in here. If this is a church of Christ, if it's where you need to be, where you should be, then you should be seeing examples of this thing, of these things happening in the church. You know, if you don't understand this church, if you're thinking about it, and but you go and talk to people, and I said, well, we are having these spiritual gifts and those spiritual gifts. This happened. You know, right now, we have, 11 apostles, and we're waiting on another one to be called. Why hasn't another one been called? You know, you would think that if it was the church of a man, if we were doing all this ourselves, I would have appointed somebody already. You know, we're supposed to have 12 apostles. If it was all my doing, all our doing as the body to appoint people, then it would have happened already. But no, we've been waiting for the Lord to speak. You know, year after year, we wait for him. And that's another testimony to me, that we wait on the Lord like we should, and we're patient. And to me, that testifies that it's his church also. We have called ministry of God. And it's, you know, it's not something I started. It's just something that the Lord did. It's something that he set up. You know, we've talked about so many examples on our Tuesday night studies and here at church. It's just the way Christ wanted it. He called his ministry. He did it in the scriptures. People, you know, they didn't go to school. I'm not saying there's necessarily anything wrong with you taking some classes. You just be careful about what they teach. You don't believe everything they say. Don't believe anything I say. You know, if it's not, doesn't correspond with the Word of God. You know, you can figure this out. You can look at your scripture and figure out what you need to do and where you need to go. It's right there in your scripture, and it'll direct you to what you need to be doing. So, but at the same time, we have called ministry of God. So again, if you're talking to somebody about this, they say, well, we find in our scripture that the Lord called people in his church. It was the Lord that did the calling, you know, that established the authority. The Lord did it. It continued on after the Lord died and was resurrected. And they do that in our church. This happens in our church. We have called ministry of God. You know, it's the same pattern we find in our scriptures. And, you know, they might think you're strange, but it's simple truth. It's the truth. Hebrews 5:4-5, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. So we use this scripture a lot. But, you know, if you think about it, it says Christ gloried not himself to be made a high priest. He didn't pick himself. You know, Christ, who was without sin, he had to be called. He had to be called of the Father. You know, he had to be called. So if Christ had to be called, you know, how much more do ministry in his church and perfect men need to be called if Christ had to be called? And, you know, another thing, obvious thing you could talk about, because it's Christ's church that was restored. And this could get, you know, this is going to get kind of lengthy when you talk to them about this. It's really very simple, but, you know, if somebody doesn't understand this, you'll be going to scriptures here and here to show what happened. You know, one example is this one we're familiar with, Revelation 12:6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So, you know, we believe that that was the church. It went into the wilderness for 1,260 days, which we believe are years, 1,260 years. So, you know, you'll have to talk to him about this eventually. But if it really is a restored church, you know, I can look back at history and I can see that this happened. There was a church, it had the gospel, it had call ministry, and then it just kind of faded away to a degree. And then it came back one day. You know, this is just an example of the verse that goes right along with that. And there, again, it's not to say, our brother was talking about, I think this past Tuesday, that there are other people the Lord worked with during this time of apostasy, you know, that the Lord wrought His Spirit on people. You know, the Lord still was working with people. Isaiah 29:14, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. So we think that, you know, the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, the coming forth of, you know, the restoration of the church is part of this marvelous work and a wonder. And this verse has to mean something. What does this verse mean? When you talk to somebody, well, I think this means that Christ restored His church, the Book of Mormon came forth. Is there anything wrong with me believing that? It's right here in my scripture. This is what I believe. This is what I believe happened. This is how I believe this verse was fulfilled. You know, there's nothing you need to worry about or be hesitant about talking to him about. It's right here in your scriptures. You can show everything in your scriptures. I've just got a few more slides. Some closing thoughts. You need to speak the truth boldly. You know, don't be hesitant. Don't worry. Just do your job and you'll be rewarded for it. Moroni 8:23, I speak it boldly, God hath commanded me. You know, examples of people that spoke the truth boldly. That they weren't worried, that they did what was right. Even if it meant persecution or whatever, they did it. John 7:26, but lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? You know, Jesus did what was asked of him of the Father. He spoke the truth boldly. Ephesians 6:19-20, this is the Apostle Paul. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, again, he realized the importance of it. He realized that he had limited opportunities. So he was going to take advantage of them. And he did what the Lord asked of him. Another closing thought, don't be ashamed. I talked about this a little bit. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Luke 9:26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You know, if you miss out on opportunities, if you're ashamed about it, if you're ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this may be what he says to you, you know, on the judgment day. You know, he's going to be ashamed of you. You know, it's a very serious matter, so you really need to think about what comes out of your mouth and how you're going to deal with these things when they happen. Don't be ashamed about it. You need to speak the truth and speak it boldly. And you know, I want to try to do a better job personally about talking about the church. And you know, I foresee a time when people are going to be coming to us. You know, one of our sisters had a dream about us. All these people she didn't know was coming to her. When times get hard, And when people are scattered about, they're going to be coming to us, and we need to be prepared for that. It's right around the corner. It's not too far off, I don't think. And there was a vision that, I think it was a vision or a dream that an elder had in the church, and it showed our church in this dream. We've talked about it before. It always makes an impression on me. But there was this church, and there was a storm that approached, and there was this group of people outside of the church, and they were happy, and they were singing. I think they had a passion for the Lord. That's what that meant to me. I could be wrong, but that's what it meant to me. They had a passion for the Lord, and this storm came. And then this group of people in our church came together, and then there's this great zeal and passion, you know, these people that brought to our church. So, you know, they will want to hear this. And they're going to bring things to the church that we might not have in our lives. I may not be pumped up about the Lord as much as I should have, but some of these other people are. They were happy, they were singing, they had passion. So, you know, we can't get too, we need to humble ourselves about that. But again, I think the time's right around the corner, and I think this is something we need to think about carefully, and it's what the Lord really put on my heart this morning. Thank you for your time.